Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
The race to replace comes to a screeching halt.
As of last Monday, Mr. Collins was fully prepared to work with party officials to substitute himself from the ballot.
This was certainly not the hand that the Republican chairs wanted to have dealt with. It's what they're dealt.
So the fact of the matter is he will remain on the ballot in November, and it's going to be an issue.
I just know no one's above the law, and the voters will have an opportunity to be heard on that issue.
Well, we are always rooting against Team Collins, as I said. It's just not just him, it's a system that propped this man up.
I'm Tim Wenger on 930 and 716. So many voices on the NY27 race to replace that, well, is no more. Chris Collins will remain on the November ballot despite previously suspending his campaign amid an insider trading indictment. The announcement by Erie County GOP Chairman Nick Langworthy Monday, live on WBEN, throws the race for the Western New York seat further into turmoil. There was no immediate comment from Collins, and it wasn't immediately clear whether he would actively campaign or not. Collins suspended his campaign in August after he was charged with illegally using inside information about a biotech company to help his son avoid hundreds of thousands of dollars in losses. Collins has pleaded not guilty and vowed to fight those charges. Republicans were looking to strip the three-term conservative lawmaker's name from the ballot. The Democratic candidate is Nathan McMurray.
Today, I formally learned that we no longer have Congressman Collins' cooperation in our efforts to substitute him from the ballot.
Langworthy began explaining the end of the race to replace and the beginning of the race to win shortly after noon, Monday, live on WBEN.
This is the culmination of 6 weeks of legal research, hard work, a lot of decision making, eight counties of Republicanship really digging into an unprecedented situation that comes with no playbook. We were truly in uncharted waters. We have a crystal clear way to replace Congressman Collins on the ballot, but it is the sole decision of he and his legal team at this point to not take that option. That they will keep Congressman Collins on the ballot for this election through Election Day. So this is obviously not something that we were expecting. As I think Dave Graber's interview with Channel 4 made it clear, as of last Monday, Mr. Collins was fully prepared to work with party officials to substitute himself from the ballot. So we had no reason to expect this, which, you can't help but feel a little bit like a jilted groom at the altar here as we get to the week where we are, planning to make a substitution for this not to be the case at this point. So we are very surprised, but Congressman Collins will appear on the ballot. He has made that decision with his legal team, at his legal team's urging. We maintain that, we definitely had a crystal clear avenue to replace Congressman Collins on the ballot, but it's no longer in the best interests of his legal team, and legal defense is what I am told is the reason that he has chosen to remain on the ballot at this time. This comes as a disappointment to Republican leaders, myself along with others across this district, which we thought it would be better to offer voters a choice of a candidate that did not face the distractions of a legal defense at this time. I believe in, Congressman Collins has owed his day in court, which will come at some point next year. But And it made sense at the time of him suspending his campaign to go focus on that legal defense rather than to face a tough uphill campaign.
Now, at the same time Langworthy was speaking at GOP headquarters, Democratic congressional candidate McMurray was reacting to word that his opponent would actually be who he was battling all along.
Well, we are always rooting against Team Collins, as I said. It's just not just him. It's a system that propped this man up, that celebrated him. They knew his faults. I've talked to you about it before. We knew who this man was. That's why there was such opposition to him before. But nonetheless, they said, we're going to endorse him anyway. We're going to believe in this man anyway. So we're fighting against corruption. And that corruption is top down. And it's a team of people who said, this man is our standard bearer. And we need to fight that. And the people of Western New York need to understand that the people involved in that team believed that they could force this man upon you. And I think people are going to realize that we're the guys on the team, my people, the volunteers that are on our side. We're there from the get-go saying, we can do better than this. We need a representative that listens, that will respond to you, and actually vote in a way that protects your interests. No, we have laws for a purpose in this country. We're a country of laws. You can't break those laws. If you break those laws, there's consequences. Mr. Collins is learning about that. And that team that supported him is also learning about that.
Lots of reaction poured in following the Collins Stays news.
Well, the ballot's been set, and this is part of the process.
I was with Congressman Brian Higgins at an event Monday.
The Republican Party nominated Chris Collins, and he appears to be staying on the line through November. Democrats have a very energetic candidate, Nate McMurray, a supervisor and a very conservative town in Western New York. He's done some very good things there. The National Democratic Chair is in Western New York today, stumping for Nate McMurray. I think he'll have the financial support he needs, and this is what elections are about.
Do you think this is the way, I mean, is this the way you thought it would go, wanted it to go?
Well, I think there was pretty clear speculation that there was an effort to get Chris Collins off the ballot. And it seemed as though he was cooperating, but something seems to have occurred in the last several days that put an end to that. And they can't get him off the ballot unless he's willing to come off the ballot. So the fact of the matter is he will remain on the ballot in November, and it's going to be an issue, obviously.
So you're in Congress. You deal with this every day. How do you go to Washington as a sitting member of Congress in this scenario? How do you go about your daily business and do what needs to be done for the people in your district?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. He doesn't have committee assignments anymore, and obviously this will not be adjudicated before the November election, so that's not going to change. So it appears as though from here on out through the end of the calendar year, that Chris Collins will still be in Congress. But he will be on the ballot in November, and that's there's nothing they can do about that. The party, the local Republican Party, or the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, without his cooperation. So whatever occurred in those discussions, whether it's a legal strategy or a political strategy, I don't know. And as I heard briefly, the chairman of the Republican Party, Nick Langworthy, said he has to respect Chris Collins' decision.
Setting aside Republicans, Democrats, Independents, whatever party might be, I mean, this kind of is one of the reasons the public has a bad taste for politics and politicians.
Yeah, for good reason and with justification. It's on both sides. You know, certainly the most publicized problems are with Republican members of Congress, but Democratic members of Congress also have experience similar things, and you're right, it contributes to the negative view that people have about the institution of Congress generally, and that's a bad thing. It's not the only reason that Congress has low approval ratings, but certainly it's a contributing factor to it. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the institution of Congress historically, in terms of constitutional powers, is the most powerful branch of government to tax and spend, to make laws, and the administration enforces laws, the executive branch enforces laws. And I think of late, Congress has been marginalized in a lot of ways. And I just think, I wish it would just get back to its traditional role. They call that in congressional parlance regular order, but it basically means empowering the members, empowering the committees to do what it is they were set up to do. And I think too much power, both on the Republican side and the Democratic side, has been centralized under one leader, and that's not good for the process.
Well, obviously no one should be above the law.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was at the same event and spoke with me briefly on the Big Collins News.
And I think what the allegations are very serious. I worked hard to pass the Stock Act, which banned insider trading by members of Congress. And I think that was highly relevant for this investigation and for the allegations that the government put forward against the congressman.
Are you surprised by this move, or is this kind of what you expected would happen?
In terms of him staying on the ballot? I don't know his motivations. I just know no one's above the law, and the voters will have an opportunity to be heard on that issue.
You're on the other side, you're in the Senate, but how do you go to Washington as a sitting member of Congress under indictment and carry out your business? He plans to do that if he wins.
I don't know how he does it, and I think, you know, we're supposed to be public service first, and obviously the allegations show that he was putting his financial gains first, that of his family and his family members, friends. So,
one more question, guys.
Do you know Nate McMurray?
I haven't met Nate yet, but I've heard great things about him.
He's always discounted as, you know, he can't win, he won't win. I mean, what are your thoughts on?
I think he will win. I support Nate.
Well, I'll tell you, I was shocked.
Analysis now from GOP political strategist Michael Caputo.
I was totally shocked. I guess this was certainly not the hand that the Republican chairs wanted to have dealt with. It's what they're dealt. And now, as Republicans in New York 27, it's going to be a difficult race. There's no question.
You say you were shocked. Looking at this from Chris Collins' perspective, it kind of comes, we're being told, at the advice of his attorneys, knowing that his attorneys advised him to do this. Does that kind of make this, I don't know, understandable in a sense that he's going to listen to what his attorneys say is best for him and the rest of his family who are facing these charges?
Well, don't forget that Congressman Collins is saying that he's innocent. And if he's in fact innocent, and we are, you know, in this country we believe, you know, innocent until proven guilty. If he's in fact innocent, then he wants to keep his job. Right, he loves being a congressman, but at the same time, I'm not an attorney. I've talked to a lot of them in recent years, and you know, they would two things. Number one, I think it's complicated if you're starting to try and push somebody off a ballot to run for something, a lower office, so you can clear the ballot for another Republican to run in New York 27, and then you don't intend to serve in that office. That might present a legal complication, and also, as we cannot forget that being a congressman is a bargaining chip. If you're trying to put together a plea deal, that's something you can give in order to get some leniency.
We heard yesterday that something happened last week after Dave Graber's interview with Collins on Channel 4 in the days following that, where all of this changed. What do you think that was?
Well, first of all, that was really good journalism, wasn't it? Dave Graber. I think very highly of Dave Graber. That's one of the reasons why I think highly of him. That was an incredible interview. I think more than anything, Collins finally communicated. And we heard from Nick Langworthy at his press conference that he had never spoken to Chris Collins since the day he was indicted. That, to me, is amazing. But at the same time, certainly none of the chairs had either. I don't know what happened with Chris Collins to make him say the things he said, but he certainly gave a message loud and clear that he wasn't necessarily on board with this process after weeks of all of us assuming that he was.
You mentioned not communicating. Everything changed after that interview. Is it possible that he wasn't communicating his intentions with his own attorneys to the point where they're watching that and saying, hey, wait a second, this might not be best for you?
Well, the one thing we all do know about Chris Collins is that he keeps his own counsel. And my guess is he was listening to the advice of his campaign team, listening to the advice of his attorneys, and was thinking about this and ruminating over it. And probably in the later term of this 6-week period, he made his decision. It's unfortunate for a lot of reasons, but for him, it looks like the best option.
We're hearing from many different people, both Democrats and Republicans, this may be more of a legal decision than a political one. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's the best thing for the people of New York 27. But also, as a Republican, I have to believe that we're probably better off running with Chris Collins on the ballot starting now than we would be if we tried to replace him. And then the court heard the appeal from the Democrats and knocked our guy off 2 weeks before the election. Now we have, as Republicans, a candidate who can define Nate McMurray, which is a challenge, and also get out the vote, and we've got 50 days to do it, and probably $1.3 million to do it. If the scenario where he was pushed off and came back on again happened, we would have none of that, and we would really be at risk.
So, it seems, the real race is on.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.